Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for your great and deep and abiding love that compelled you to send your only begotten Son for us, that we might be saved, rescued, redeemed, brought into your family. And so, Lord, on this Advent Sunday of love, we pray that through your word and by your spirit, you would show us your love yet again. Help us to rest in it. Help us to dwell in it. Help us to pass it along. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you do when people doubt God's love for them? Again, in the words of Pastor David, you show them. And that's exactly what God did at Christmas time. God's people hadn't heard from him in 400 years at the time when Jesus had come. And yet, they were clinging to the promises of God's word. They were clinging to the promises of Scripture, the prophecies that had come hundreds of years before. They remembered that Isaiah had prophesied that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, upon them a light has shone. And they remembered that Isaiah further said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." They knew that God had promised, but they had grown weary of waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise. And then at Christmas, in the Christmas story, after 400 years of silence from Almighty God, they saw God show up. They saw God show up in a way that was unexpected and yet to some degree expected. A child was born. Angels appeared. And they worshiped this child. They called the shepherds to go and worship this child. And the glory of God was magnified in this moment, for now, for these people who had been walking in darkness, a great light was shining. But there would still be some time before they would see the realization of what that light truly meant for them. John would tell us in the prologue to his gospel that the Cohens read this morning, that the Word made flesh to dwell among us, in him was life, and that light was the light of men, and his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I have good news this morning. The darkness will not overcome it. The darkness shall not overcome the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. For right here in our region, we've seen over the course of the past 8 days that though the darkness can be great, God's light is brighter. And God's light shining through his people is brighter than any darkness we could ever face, because we come together and we show the world the light of Christ. We help them sense the love of Christ. What did Jesus come to do? What would his light look like? He came to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 61, as he went to the synagogue and opened the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after he read it, he rolled up the scroll and sat down and began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He knew who he was. He knew why he had come. He knew that he had come to fulfill the great prophecies for which God's people had been longing. He told Nicodemus that the reason he came was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he further told Nicodemus, the one we don't include in the end zone verse. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He didn't have to come to condemn the world. The world stood condemned already. In our brokenness, we had turned away from God to find our own solution. Can that happen? Can it happen that sometimes we're just hurting and we turn away to find some solution somewhere else? Well, if you're like me, you've lived long enough to find out those solutions don't work. They fade quickly. But God comes through. God comes through. Today, you may doubt God's love for you, but I believe through his word, he's going to show you just how very deeply he loves you. Our theme for today's message is the two verses we've been looking at through the entire Advent. It's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. If you're in the room, you can find these two verses on page 974 of the Pew Bible in front of you. That's the red book. But they say this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And if you're taking notes, the two blanks there in the theme are the words adoption and sons, and both of those words matter. First, God so loved us that he came to get us to adopt us into his family. The Bible tells us that apart from Christ, we're children of wrath. We're enemies of God. It comes in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're children of wrath, and in Romans chapter 5 that we are enemies of God. In fact, Jesus was talking to some folks who didn't believe in him, and he said this to them in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Before God moved, we were separated from him. We were without God and we were without hope, and God could have left us there. But today I want you to hear that no matter how far separated you might be from God in this moment, he still loves you and he still came for you. Yes, you. You say, I've done a lot. He knows it. And while you were still a sinner, his son died on the cross for you and for me. Because the only hope of heaven any of us has is Jesus Christ. Nobody's good enough. But God so loved you and so loved me that he sent his son, that even when we were not good enough, even when we were still running as fast as we could to get away from him, he came to stop us, to save us, to rescue us and to adopt us. This is amazing. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." What did God want for us? Not just our justification, not just our forgiveness. He wanted us. That's what happens when you adopt somebody. You bring them in because you want them. You don't just want good things for them, you want them. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." And when we turn away from our lifestyle of sin and turn to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm a sinner, but I believe you're the Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I trust you and I will follow you." One of the things that happens in that instant, it's like an adoption proceeding, and there's a legal declaration that through Jesus Christ, you are brought into the family of God to be held in the mighty hand of God and never to be snatched away. You ever been to an adoption proceeding? It's one of my favorite things I get to do. And I can never hold it together. Because just before it's all finalized and the judge makes a decree, the attorney says, "Are you willing to provide for the needs of this child?" And the prospective father and mother say, "Yes." "Do you understand that once this is finalized, this child will be to you as one naturally born from your own bodies?" And they say, "Yes." "Do you understand that once this is finalized, this child will become heir to your estate as one naturally born from your bodies?" And they say, "Yes." And then there's one last question. "Do you love this child?" "Yes." And the judge makes the decree. this child is now yours. Adoption begins with a desire, not just good things for that individual, but a desire for that individual. God came to adopt us because he wanted us. Why he should want us, I'll never know. I know me a lot better than you know me, and I'm not very desirable, I can tell you, particularly from God's perspective, and yet he wanted somebody even like me. He wants somebody even like you. So, the first point is that God loves us enough to adopt us in Christ, and the second point is like it, that God loves us enough to make us his heirs. It's important that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said that he adopted us as sons. This is not right, but 2,000 years ago, only sons had an inheritance. Do you know that? The hope for daughters was that they married well, and they got an inheritance through whoever it was they married. Daughters didn't have an inheritance. So here's what's amazing about our God. He said, you have received in Christ the adoption as sons. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, listen to this. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is not removing distinctions. It's not removing ethnic distinctions. It's not removing gender distinctions. The Bible still speaks of husbands and wives as different things, right? But what it is doing is removing anything that would have kept you away from coming to God through Christ. So we receive the adoption as sons. All of us who trust and follow Jesus become full heirs to the kingdom of God. And I want you to hear what's coming. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, listen to this, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So if you're in Christ, you have an inheritance coming. You are a co-heir with Christ of the kingdom of God. You will reign with him forever and ever in an eternal state that is a new heavens and a new earth that is glorious. They don't have tornadoes in the eternal state. There's no need for rescue workers and relief in the eternal state. For God is all, and is in all, and is with all, and we're able to rest in him. Until then, we seek, as those who trust and follow Jesus, to embody this message to everyone we meet. I'm going to tell you, it's going to get difficult. The roads are starting to come alive again. How many of you have noticed tempers are a little short right now? How many of you notice it takes a little longer to get somewhere right now? How many of you notice there's people who don't know our community right now, and even though you're so thankful for them, you might get frustrated with them? Allow the love of Jesus to overflow from you, through you, to all people. How do you convince somebody that God loves them? Well, of course we tell them. God tells through his word. But the most powerful thing we can do as we tell them is show them. Let's keep doing that this week. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We believe it is unequivocally true, and we are so thankful that your promises are true and they have come to pass. and it will come to pass that you have an inheritance for us that is kept in heaven, undefiled, unfading, that is steady and sure. Until we step into that inheritance, help us live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a way that blesses the world around us and shows them your great love. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.